All right, welcome in. We are back. Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Bradis. He's Sal Montes. Zay Galindo in the building as well. Here with us for the first time, our spring intern, King Eric, Eric Reyes, who's with us as well. Chris from Inspo Lens back with us. We've got so much to catch up with Chris. He came bearing gifts, a.k.a. bringing in NCAA Basketball 09 PS2 edition. Sal, I think we need a little segment on this one as well. But before we get any of that, the Miners get a victory tonight. And it was hard fought. I mean, tonight, an entertaining basketball matchup between two teams who are near the bottom of the conference and two teams who really needed a win in the biggest way possible. I think for the Miners, getting a win in today's matchup bodes well for them going into the weekend. You don't want to be down the first game, Sal, and the, you know, going into this week in a home stretch, go down this one and then have to kind of feel backs against the wall. You have to win on Saturday against Missouri State. So they got this one out of the way. Now it's a tough team in Missouri State who, by the way, beat the Miners by 24 points on their home floor. And don't think like I forgot about that one. That one was an absolute blowout in favor for the Bears. They come in on Saturday, and the Miners have a chance to win back-to-back and three of their last four. You know, that's something, a positive step in the right direction for a team that has needed so much positivity. You hear it in head coach Joe Golding's voice. They needed a win tonight, and nothing is easy for this squad right here. It's not supposed to be easy tonight. You know, it was a tough night from Kasim Watson, but look at the spectacular game you got from Jamal Jr. offensively. 28 points, 11 for 14 shooting. Elijah Jones poured 14 in himself on 4 for 4 from beyond the arc. And the Miners got it done at home, a game they desperately needed here.
And they were in control, you know, pretty much all game. I think that's the impressive part. It's not so much that they won, it's how they did it. And you can look at multiple possessions throughout the game or even a defensive series if you want, and you could say, hey, that could be the play that got them the win. But, you know, despite FIU clawing and fighting back in time and time again, it kind of felt like roles were reversed, right? We've seen UTEP beat FIU today where, you know, they get down early, they get in a hole, then they start climbing back, and next thing you know, the other team just goes on a quick run and they regain the lead or they extend it. So the Miners were able to be on the other side today, and they did it for a full 40 minutes. I think that's the impressive part. They were efficient for the most part. Obviously, there were some things we can poke at and say, eh, come on, but very impressive. They were in control, so you got to respect it, especially considering the way they started the season.
I want to give a big shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. Whether you know, here I'm going to give everybody a tip out there. You hear Mike Norwich, the owner of Jack in the Box, always giving tips about how to style your Jack in the Box. Here's how I style mine. It's late night Jack in the Box, but I like breakfast late night. Meat Lovers burrito combo. That's what I get. It's the tortilla. You get it with bacon, ham. You also get it with cheese, sausage, and the scrambled egg. Plus, you get a hash brown on the side, and I like to have it with orange juice. So that's how I do it with the combo out of Jack in the Box. Big shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk as we continue. Also want to give a big shout out to our great team over at Thomas Adams Apparel. We've got the new hats out. Super pumped for those as well. And then big shout out to Boomy Dental. They're the reason why we're live on Inspo Lens as well. So big shout out to them. Eric's in the house. Chris is in the house. They've got thoughts from this one as well. Zay's in the house too. Miners win 83-77. You want to talk about it with us? Now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. That's where you can check in with us as well. You could also chat with us on our app. We'll read those messages on our app here in real time, and we'll get to you here on the program as well. A lot to get into from this one. I want to mention this. So Jamal West Jr. with 28 points tonight. I thought he was an enforcer, and I thought that he was able to score at all three levels. He hit 2 for 3 from the perimeter. He grabbed 7 rebounds in this one. Sure, he had his 4 turnovers, but he also chipped in with 5 assists. He was all over the floor. 3 steals, 1 block. You could simply call it the Jamal West Jr. game, Sal, if you really wanted to. He was all over the floor, and I know that there were some swing moments. I can credit Muhammad Bai for the late game bucket that he got, the and one conversion he got. I really liked how head coach Joe Golding spotlighted the, you know, box out by KJ Thomas down low, the way that he was able to contribute. But man, Jamal West Jr., the way he was an enforcer down in the paint tonight, spectacular stuff. And he was able to work against a double team. He was putting out moves that I hadn't seen from him at all. So I liked the game we saw from Jamal West Jr.
I really like it too, Adrian, because when it starts, Elijah Jones is a clear-cut star, you know, right from the get-go. And as the game kind of progresses, West just simply takes over. But another guy I want to mention, too, is L.A. Hayes. I feel like those three guys, right, West, when it comes to Jones and also Hayes, at various points, you could pick others, but at various points, those guys got big buckets, or they started a big run, or they capped off, you know, that momentum swing in that run. So very impressive, those guys feeding off of each other.
When you mentioned Elijah Jones, I was thinking to myself, man, he could also be credited for one of the players of the game tonight. 4-for-4 from beyond the arc, the way he was able to be an enforcer. But man, L.A. Hayes, give him credit. It's him versus Trey Horton versus Cassius Brooks for playing time. Round one goes to L.A. Hayes. 12 points off the bench in 15 minutes. 3 steals also. Not only was it double-digit scoring, which he was very aggressive in the first half offensively. I liked the way he played it. But on the defensive side, that's where they wanted him to improve. That's where he got his 3 steals. I know he got the 2 fouls. The fouls seemed to me a bit ticky-tacky. And I felt like he would have a bucket on one side offensively in the first half and then go out and commit the foul on the other side, but he made up for it down the road for with some steals that he was able to contribute. So 12 points, 15 minutes, 3 steals for L.A. Hayes. That's what you need. That's what you need out of a guy who's coming onto the scene and fighting for minutes right now down the stretch with guys like Trey Horton and Cassius Brooks. 915-505-6009. We'll get to Enrique here in just a second. We got a lot of comments on Twitter and X. But first, let's check in with the boys. Let's say what's up to King Eric and to Chris. Let's start with you, King Eric. Let's get your first takeaways from this one. UTEP wins 83-77. Give me your instant reactions.
Hey, it was a very entertaining game. FIU proved once again how they are kind of a bottom dweller in terms of Conference USA, but they're a very scrappy team. They're a very hard-playing team. They don't, you know, they don't take anything lightly. They play hard. Jeremy Ballard has a well-coached team out there, and yeah, UTEP had to fight each and every game for it. So very entertaining game though so far.
Yeah, definitely entertaining. I mean, you think about like just the way that the crowd got into it too. I know that they only announced like 3,100, 86 fans in this one. It felt a little more than that. It felt like a good crowd. But Chris, let's swing it to you, and then we'll get Zay's thoughts as well. You give me your instant reactions to the minor victory tonight.
It was a good win for sure. UTEP definitely needed this win to keep their hopes alive to get into the Conference USA tournament, which is very important.
And that's such a low bar to say, right? I mean, it's like, but this was an important game for Conference USA seeding. This was like the bottom teams in the league, like fighting for positioning, fighting for spots. And I was shocked because, Zay, like when we talked 4 games ago before FIU, or I should say 5 games ago, before FIU started going on this losing streak, they beat by UTEP by double digits. Like, they handled UTEP in Miami in a positive way on their side, and they've kind of fallen apart a bit after this. I don't want to say you push the panic button if you're FIU, but I think you push the panic button if you're this coaching staff, because this, the university over there at FIU, they're committing themselves to winning. They want to pump in NIL money. This is the most talented roster this team has had, and they came to El Paso with a mission to try to win this one. Maybe they win Saturday against New Mexico State. That's still, you know, the Aggies are not playing well at all right now, and Miners are actually playing much better basketball compared to where they were a month ago. But the Miners get a win tonight against a team that they absolutely needed to win. Imagine FIU gets 2 against UTEP and you have that against you in the CUSA tournament. I mean, that would not bode well for you at all.
Yeah, it wouldn't. And, you know, you said it perfectly. UTEP needed to win this game. FIU, they're on a 4-game skid coming into this. I mean, it's a 5-game skid now. So you have to win the games that, you know, you're given the opportunity. It was, we talked about it before the game. It's a close spread. I think FIU was favored by about a point. So anytime it's within that range, you've got to take it. You got to get a win. Got to get the home wins. And it was a big one. I mean, Jamal West Jr., 28 points. I didn't even realize he had that many. to be honest. This is a really good game from him all around, and there were some spurts where I thought UTEP easily could have lost it, right? You know, FIU goes on that big run the second half, and I'm thinking that's it. You know, we've seen this story. This is the same story, same book, same chapter. But they were able to pull it out and get a big win. Shot lights out. I mean, 11 threes. You take that all day, but can you do that this next game, right? Can you keep the consistency offensively? That's something I'll be looking for.
All right, 915-505-6009. Opening thoughts from all of us here. We'll get into some specifics here in the program. I've got a lot of different topics. Let's get to Enrique. We'll get other phone calls. 915-505-6009. Enrique, good evening, my friend. What's going on?
Good evening. Hey, Adrian. You know what I'm going to ask you?
I'm not going to answer.
How about them Miners?
You're hilarious. You're hilarious.
Tell me your thoughts.
Tell me your thoughts.
Oh, man. That L.A., man. He's a sight to see. It was a good game, a good crowd. You know, we got one of the members of the crowd ejected from the game. And
yeah, what happened? Please tell me what happened, because I got a couple texts on this in a group chat that I'm in.
I don't know. It was one of the season holders, and they were, I think it was, they're right behind the court side, and they were just giving it to the refs. So obviously, you know, like, you and I are no shy, but like the bad calling from the Conference USA officials you've seen over the years against UTEP. And this guy took it personal, and he let them have it. And I don't think they were taking it, and they ejected him.
That's hilarious, because today, if there was ever a night for a fan to be ejected, it's tonight. What awful officiating. It was refs at their best, at their finest.
I am not going to miss these refs when we leave the Mountain West. I will not miss them. Goodbye, good riddance. But one thing I will say, so you can get your other callers, is that L.A. kid, I really hope he sticks around, because I see him being the future for UTEP basketball heading into the Mountain West.
I think it might be a little rushed to say, because we haven't seen it enough in extended time. But can he, you know, work his way to be the sixth man on this team? I think that's my expectation, man. I think that's what he needs to work toward, is being that sixth man, being a go-to guy, and really helping out where the Miners need. And that's off the bench, spelling them in the backcourt when they need some help behind Caleb Blackwell and company.
Yeah. Oh, you hit on the nail. And then what's the other kid's name? I'm up. KJ. He's turning into a crowd favorite. You know, I think he's going to be the next Elijah Jones. Mark my words. He's improving. All these kids are improving at the right time. You know, we saw them in the beginning of the season, you know, kind of like meshing. You got to remember, this is a whole new squad from last year. We lost all our starters except Elijah. So this is a whole new unit getting to unison, and it's showing. A little bit late, but hey, better late than never heading into the tournament, you know.
Good stuff, Enrique. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009. Peaking at the right time is important, Sal, and the fact that the Miners have lot of these upcoming games at home is huge for them. You got to be playing relevant basketball in February, and I think that's where this team hopes they can be as they turn the page away from January. Hey, you know, forget January. You just want to play good in February to lead you into March.
Yeah, you kind of want to build it up until you get to that conference tournament, right? You want to play better basketball around that point. And for the Miners, just looking at the conference schedule, like, it's you kind of get a mix of everything the rest of this homestand. And I'll put it this way. They'll get Missouri State, who's in the top quarter of the conference. And then they also got Louisiana Tech, who's in that last part of that second.
Must win.
You know what I mean? Yes. Right there. And then they also got Delaware at the bottom. So you get a mix of everything. But when you look at the conference schedule as a whole, they play Kennesaw and Sam Houston once, and they're smack in the middle. So it's going to be fun to see how it plays out. I know I'm looking too far ahead, but they can kind of continue this and split games. I mean, that's not even asking for too much. I think that's – you feel better about that, you know, going into the end of – or middle of February, end of February. So if you can, you know, split, you're obviously going to be in the tournament, and that's where it's all going to be decided.
Zay, let me ask you this. What do you think of this conference this year? We talked a little bit about this on Sports Talk Day. I don't know if you guys talked about it yesterday on the show. Where is conference USA say this year, in your opinion?
It's in a weird spot, but you know, it's Liberty's conference, right? It's Liberty's conference.
Is it Liberty and it versus everybody else?
Yeah, you know,
that's how I would look at
someone
it.
Needs to step up to bat, and nobody really has. Like, there's no clear-cut two through four, really. Like, it's a bloodbath. Everybody's eating each other up. And usually that just goes to show that this probably isn't a great conference, right?
Yeah.
And that's on UTEP's side, right? It's a down year when you're given an opportunity to play teams like FIU who, you know, start of the year when they played UTEP, I'm thinking this could be a top five team, right? FIU in the conference. They end up not being that good. No one is truly that good. And there really isn't a game outside of Liberty that I'm looking for UTEP saying, like, you can't win it, right?
Right.
They're all pretty winnable. It just comes down to whether UTEP can execute like they did tonight. And obviously, they just haven't done that at a high clip.
And they haven't played the likes of, you know, they haven't played Kennesaw. They haven't played Sam Houston. They haven't played Jacksonville State. So I want to see those teams to truly give a good assessment on where this conference is at. But, like, Middle Tennessee today is the second place team in this conference. UTEP beat Middle Tennessee. Like that's where this conference is at right now. And you know, they lose to a team like Western Kentucky, who right now is 11-8. UTEP does 4-4 in conference play. But this just tells me that this is a bad league. Last year, we wanted to talk about how much parity there was in Conference USA, how the league was pretty good, was on an upswing that year. This year, it's taking a bit of a backseat. It's taking a step back. And for the Miners, it should be a little bit more favorable. I feel like for the Miners, they've got to make that work to their case and to their benefit. So if you're going to be a UTEP optimist, you're going to talk yourself into this conference is not that good. And maybe because of that, Chris, they, you know, the Miners have a chance when it's all said and done to at least hang around in some conference tourney games. That's where you want to be. You want to be in a better position going into March when you're turning that page and then heading to the conference tournament. You got to make it there first, like you kind of pointed out initially.
Yeah, definitely. I think UTEP can make it to the middle of the conference. I think they have 1-2 road wins at best. And
yeah, left in the season.
3-4 home wins, and that gets them right in the middle. And I think that's a pretty good seeding going to conference, you know, tournament. They're right there if they do that.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like for the Miners though, they've got to play as good or what they're doing right now. They kind of have to stick to that here during this final stretch of conference play. So this is a winnable conference. I'm not trying to talk you all the way back into UTEP just yet. They still have a lot to prove to me in order for them for me to take them seriously or as serious as we're kind of alluding to right here. And the key to that is consistency. Can you string along a win streak? Can you win back to back here? Can you defeat Missouri State on Saturday, a team who on paper right now is a better team than UTEP? And Miners need to win this one since it's at the Don Haskins Center. It's a team that just beat New Mexico State, so they might be riding a bit of a high right now. And then, you know, the Miners take them on in a Saturday 2 p.m. tip-off. So it's an opportunity for UTEP to get a win. So let's see if it happens. 915-505-6009. Pinky is next up with us. We got other topics to hit on as well, but we'll get to Pinky and some more calls here on the program. 915-505-6009. Before we say hello to Pinky, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Pinky's up with us here on the program as Miner Talk continues, along with Sal, Eric, Zay, and Chris. I'm Adrian. We got a full house here today. UTEP defeats FIU 83-77. Pinky, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, good evening, guys. Excellent game tonight. Of course, you'll take any win we can take as it is right now. But the one thing I want to put a little bit of emphasis that we were talking about where we were sitting at was the Miners' transition defense was really good. They were getting back pretty quick and didn't let Florida International get too many quick opportunities or fast breaks. So to me, that was a big, big point that we were talking about in the section that we were sitting around. So, you know, my point to that is when you stop somebody from their guards from penetrating, like they got good guards, Florida does, and so do we. But the ability to stop them from penetrating or getting inside too much was very key to me. And I mean, Florida International's got some big boys and strong and good and agile and very physical. So it was a very physical game. And I'm not going to miss the UC-USA referees, because there was one call almost at the end of the game where one of the minor defenders barely touched the guy and he called a foul. And I'm going, man, it's been physical all this game, and he's going to start calling that stuff now. So, you know, and we all, and that's when the crowd really got into booing really bad and the referees. And I guess that's when, I don't know who they ejected. I didn't even know they ejected somebody because we were so involved in our mental part of the game and we didn't see them do anything. So whoever got ejected, thank you. You know, that's a good job that she just did. But my point still is I enjoyed the game and hopefully we'll get a better crowd this Saturday and we'll keep on going. Picks up.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Pinky. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. I will say that stupid call that Pinky is alluding to was against Jamal West Jr., who was away from the play down the stretch. It was like a critical call against him. I was like, are you serious right now? But to me, I was just telling this to Eric, and to me, the issue, Sal, was not the calls from CUSA refs tonight. It was the indecisiveness by them. Like, it took forever for them. One guy was saying the ball was going this way. The other guy was saying the ball was going the other way. The refs were out of whack, out of sort tonight as far as not being on the same page, not having a lot of organization on their side. And I mean, that really is, that falls on CUSA, man. I mean, these refs have been bad consistently year over year, so it's nothing new. I'm ready for the breath of fresh air, just like Pinky, going to the Mountain West and maybe finding some better officiating in hoops.
And it kind of feels like that game against, who was it, Utah State, felt like a heaven sent, because the refs were actually making the right calls. Granted, we know how they game ended up, but just to get some kind of fluidity is good. But I do think, Adrian, when we wrap up our last minor talk for basketball, we got to do like top five or top 10 most egregious calls in Conference USA. We have to, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some that come to mind. And yeah, the fact that they come to mind is like, come on, man. That just tells you how bad this league truly is when it comes to officiating. Erica, what do you think about the officiating of this one? It was just kind of, it felt like it was disorganized because the refs just couldn't make up their mind on certain calls that happened today.
Yeah, you know, everybody blames how bad the officiating is, and it is. You see, USA refs are just, they're bad, they're not good. Yeah, you just, consistency is all we ask for. If you're gonna call something on one end, you got to call it on the other end. And yeah, I feel like refs didn't do that this game. Yeah, that Jamal West Jr. foul, they said he pulled the jersey down or something. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in the building other than the ref saw something like that. So a little crazy right there as far as that decision to call that right there. I got some other topics to hit on, guys, before we get to more here on the program. 915-505-6009. And actually, I should read some comments that are coming in on social media because we're getting a bunch of them. Let's start off with this one here from Tristan Pence, our pal here on the program. Saw him from afar today. He was cheering loud. He was one of the 3,100 fans who were out there tonight along with his family. Good win for the Miners. The number that jumps out on the stat sheet was 20 assists. The Miners are playing better and have a chance over the next three games to move up in the Conference USA standings. By Hayes and CJ Smith are really showing promise. Zay, your thoughts on that from Tristan Pence?
Yeah, I mean, By got big minutes in this one, and he showed out right down the stretch. He had some big buckets. He had the and one. I know he didn't hit the free throw, but still, I mean, he looked polished, more polished than he's been all year. And L.A. Hayes, I mean, 12 points, 4-6 shooting. He was consistent. I think he should be, like, in that end-of-game rotation. But it's hard, right? It's hard to put him over maybe KJ because KJ's been playing so well down the stretch as well. And you're not going to play him over Caleb Blackwell. So it's a bit of a crowded, you know, rotation when it comes to that backcourt, but I guess that's a good thing, right, considering how bad this UTEP backcourt has been throughout the year. So, yeah, I like all three of them tonight.
Shannon checks in. Looks like the guys are finally clicking a bit better. Hashtag Minor Talk. UTEP repost guy. Jamal West is a dog. Outside the free throw, when Golding let Horton try to box him out, that big man a second time after getting slammed on, it was his best coach game. If Jamal West Jr. picks up like a first teamer, they could actually turn it around. Big if. though. Chris, could you see their whole season or, like, you know, their, I guess, kind of like their wins and offensive production really hinging on the shoulders of Jamal West Jr.? Is it like, if he took it up this level and maybe even a step above this, could he truly carry them? Like, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that right there. I think the tandem of Kasim Watson, Jamal West Jr., and Elijah Jones has to be good in order for them to win games, though.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think he could carry them. He's been kind of inconsistent, but he's a really good player, for sure. He's quite a bit of a
hustler. I wouldn't say he's inconsistent. I would say he's probably one of the more consistent players on the team, so I'd push back on that, but go ahead.
I guess in terms of carrying, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, true. Like, not a focal piece, not a leading scorer game to game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you want him to carry UTEP, he needs to be consistently, you know, 20-plus points, like what he does tonight. He hasn't done that. He's just been, you know, a co-helper, you know, so to speak. And you do need L.A. Hayes and Caleb Blackwell, even Kasim Watson, even though he didn't have that great of a game tonight.
Yeah, you need it.
Yeah, to have, you know, some consistency offensively. Thankfully, they have pushed offensively a lot more, like, in this game. You could just see it. They were pushing offensively a lot more than any other games. They were really going at it. And defensively, it wasn't there, but at least they were going there, you know, offensively to try to score, which is been a very missing focal point in this team.
Yeah, I think their offense was the biggest plus today. The fact that they were able to score 47 in the first half, like that, I mean, that alone, you know, just having some offense and not having to make things so difficult in order to score to the ball, that was a big bonus for UTEP tonight. Another thing I really liked, I loved Joe Golding's quarter zip. I was telling this to Zay. I mean, dude, like the spinning minor, they have this like quarter zip of the spinning minor throwback logo. How cool is that? And then it just goes back to, Zay, if you Google right now UTEP logo, the throwback Pater Pete pops up. It's time to UTEP to just embrace it. It's time for them to do it and just say, this is our logo. No more throwback. We love using this. We love incorporating it. Whenever we put it on merch, everybody wants it. Just do it. Just lean into the classic Pater Pete, and everybody will be happy. You could still use new school Pater Pete as the real mascot, but as far as the logo goes, make the official logo the throwback.
Maybe they're soft launching, you know, Pater Pete, the old one, right? You're seeing a lot more of him on a lot of the merch. A lot. I mean, you talked about it right there. There's the quarter zip, and around UTEP Athletics, I've seen the mascot, and they have like team specific ones. I was telling you this earlier. Joe has the one where he's spinning the basketball. Volleyball has the one where he's spiking the volleyball. There's a rare football one where he's hiking the ball. It looks like the Patriots old school logo. You guys know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
And so maybe they're soft launching it, and I'm all for it, right? You know, we've talked about it in the past. Tulane has done something like that. The only thing that I'm against is it just adds another shade of orange to the 100 different shades that we've seen around UTEP Athletics. But,
yeah.
You know, you take what you can get.
Sal, any thoughts?
Well, it's funny because I never heard of what a quarter zip is. I just thought of it as like a sweater. So I'm like, I gotta be in with this conversation. So I type up quarter zip. I'm like, that's what it is. But
the quarter zip.
Yeah,
right
there
now.
It is, right there. So I have one over here too.
There you
with
go.
The hood on it. But it's cool. But I like Zay's point, man. Like he mentioned the orange. It's a different shade. There's so many shades of blue that there's just so much going on, and then like the court doesn't really match with it, and all this other stuff. So, but I mean, who cares, right now? We're kind of nitpicking at this, but I really like the idea of the old school Pater Pete. Like, as far as making it permanent, I don't know. Make that your basketball logo.
Basketball logo?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Zay, one more. If you are the UTEP czar of colors, like, you get to make the final decision of the orange. Like, once you make the orange decision, it's over. What shade of orange are we talking about here? And give me the comparison. Is it the Tennessee orange, the very highlighter one? Is it like the old school orange that's a little faded? A little burnt orange one where they lean into like the Texas Western kind of color? Not totally burnt orange, but you know what I'm saying, like the red orange. Which orange, which shade shade of orange are we going with?
Yeah, you know, it's unpopular. Everybody's going to hate me for it, but the Tennessee orange. It's the best orange.
There we go.
Like, okay. In the Haskins Center, the chairs, that's the ugly orange to me. Like, I hate that orange. It's red. Like, it just looks red.
Like this.
Yes. Like, you, if you have the Amazon Fire Stick, there's the box. I hate that orange. It's not orange. It's like tangerine. Like, I don't know. I like the orange that, you know, the Tennessee orange, the orange that you see on the little cuties. The, you know which ones I'm talking about? Like, I like that orange. It looks the best, and it just makes the blue look nice, you know? Those orange, the old school orange from the 2000s, like, it looks gross, man. Like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It looks, you know, they wear their jerseys. You know, I'm looking at the old jerseys or even the football jerseys. Yeah, like the orange that everybody kind of assumes with UTEP is the dark orange. Like, no, we need to get away from that. And we were getting away from it. Then they switched to Adidas, and Adidas just decided, no. We're going to go back. And now Adidas gear, like, it has that orange all over the place. You have the old orange. You have the new orange. You have the Texas Western orange. You have the, there's so much. It hurts my mind just thinking about it.
That's what I'm saying. If you were the color czar for UTEP, you could just wave your wand, and then it's all Tennessee orange again.
Yes, without a doubt, certainly, and yeah, I mean it's pleasing to the eyes. Like, you guys don't think?
Oh, I hate that orange.
Oh.
I can't stand that orange. When they rolled that one out, Sal, and they were like, "We're all in on this orange." I was like, "This is just, it's just a little much." Like you throw it, it sometimes looks like a highlighter. No? Where are you? You're a big fan of this.
I like it. And the reason why is because the blue is just so different. And they contrast, but they go together. You know what I mean? They I'm trying to think of the word. They coordinate each other.
Okay.
But the reason why I like it is because I'm getting visions of, like, the blue jersey with the orange helmet, orange pants or something. But that combo, if it's a night game and sunset is hitting, it's going to match the sunset. That's my favorite part. So I think that's why I'm kind of partial to it. But I do think that if they are going to do day games, probably go with the throwback, or probably go with a white, orange, white or something. Like, match the sky if you're at the Sun Bowl. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. But the sky sometimes has the gradient, though, Zay. I mean, sometimes you're getting all sorts of colors in the sky.
If UTEP makes a gradient jersey, I might just leave. Like, I might just walk out of whatever game it is. I've had enough of, you know, the gimmicky uniforms. And look, we don't even see the orange jerseys anymore. Like, you know, and in football, could you imagine an all orange jersey with the old orange? Like, that just looks even more gross.
Have you seen them?
Do they exist? Like, with orange. Like, I've seen the orange jerseys, but they're always wearing blue pants. I can't imagine orange pants, orange jersey. Like, I just can't do it.
Especially with the orange in the end zone?
Yeah, oh my goodness. And there's like 7 different oranges on the field, you know? So I just, you know.
Oh, man. I'm going to find one of these. I'm going to find one of these, and you're going to start cringing. And you'll love it, though. But, yeah, I love it. Good stuff. Good jersey topic and side tangent here. 915-505-6009. I do want to ask you guys this. Zay pointed this out on Twitter, and I think it's a really good point to bring up. Florida International has a defensive lineman who plays basketball for them. Zay, who is it on their team? Do we know who this is? Is it Eric? Who? Go ahead.
So I'm just looking at the bench, right? I'm looking at the Florida International bench, and I see this unit. Like, I just see a unit. And
I saw
him
too.
He's only 6'7". He's only 6'7", but that's a normal height for basketball. But this guy's 300 pounds. Like, you notice those guys immediately. It's like Kenny Lofton 2.0. And he got in the game. He wasn't that great. But, I mean, I was kind of disappointed when he wasn't great. And I looked him up, and he's a defensive lineman for Florida International. And I'm thinking, wow, like, this is an athlete. Like, bet the, you know, NFL draft pick now, a 6'7 offensive lineman moving like that, like, there's going to be a defensive coordinator, some team out there is going to convince him they can make him into the greatest, you know, pass rushing inside tackle ever. And Look, this guy, oh, I didn't even give the name. I got so excited talking about the guy. It's Aiden Clinton. He's from St. Petersburg, Florida. He's a freshman. And yeah, he's not rated as a recruit on the football team. I don't know what his main sport is, honestly. I didn't do enough research into the guy. But yeah, I mean, you see him on the bench, and I'm thinking, who can hoop like that on UTEP's team, right? Elijah Baldwin came to mind. They should have gotten Elijah Baldwin on this hoops team before he leaves to UTSA. Because, I mean, why not? Like, why not? Unless he's not any good.
Well, here's my question to you is, I was doing a quick search on this guy. Is it true that he's not on the football team anymore? Like, he just finished his eligibility on football? Which makes me think, to you guys, if you're a defensive player, or I'm sorry, if you're a football player, but you play some basketball, and you want to just keep capitalizing on NIL, why wouldn't you keep playing more sports? Like, okay, I'm not going to make it in the NFL, or I'm not going to get picked up right away in the draft, but I'm a senior, and I still want to do something, and I still I'm leaving a legacy at UTEP. How about I play some basketball? Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Like, let's say Jadrian Taylor worked on his jumper all offseason long. Like, he's a really fast guy. He was a Conference USA leader in sacks, and he's a really big and fast guy. You throw Jadrian Taylor out there, have him in as a reserve point guard, like, you know, just comes in. I've seen him hit some shots. Before you guys laugh at me, I've seen that guy hit some shots. So why not just take a year and capitalize on some NIL and play some basketball after your football days are done, or vice versa?
Or vice versa, yeah. Imagine Jamal West Jr. lining up in the A-gap to tackle your running back.
There we go.
Imagine Caleb Blackwell getting his feet together and become a corner. Maybe
yes.
That burst as a running back. UTEP could use that, right? I always like the basketball to football pipeline more than the football to basketball pipeline, because if you've ever played football, you ever played basketball with a football player, like, those guys all play the same. Like, they're just going to put their shoulder in your chest, run you over, and miss the layup. You know, they're going to do that every time, and I'm pretty sure our guy, what's his name, Andrew, whatever his name was, on the FIU team, I'm pretty sure he did that today. Like, but, I like the basketball to football pipeline. I think the athletes are a little more polished on the basketball side. Like, imagine Bronny James as a safety. That's his calling card. Instead, he's playing basketball.
Okay. Not bad. Not a bad comparison. We'll get back to this topic here in just a second. Let's go to Steve, who's joining us next. 915-505-6009. Steve, welcome aboard. Good evening.
You guys really got me pumped up with the color talk, because I think the same thing, that colors are all over the place. I feel like if we just go with the original minor orange that's been around for like 90 years, that could spark a resurgence in UTEP athletics, because you'll notice when they went to the Tennessee orange, everything just seemed to go downhill from there. And so, just bring it back. Be consistent with the colors, with the seats in the Dan Hoskins Center, with some of the painting in the Don and the Sun Bowl. It's just the new color. I don't even know why they did it. It doesn't make sense. It's ugly. It's not our color. It doesn't have any tradition or heritage within the university. I thought it was a stupid move. I won't wear it. I just wear the traditional minor orange.
You know, I'm told, you know, I don't, I think that they just need to stick to one color, Steve. Like, that's the point. Like, there's just so many different shades. Stick to one of them and then just roll with it. And I think they've tried to do that. I think they've tried to draw the line in the sand and say, this is our color. But, I know that this is one of those things. You just look in the crowd, man. I mean, the different generations of T-shirts will tell you the story that you need to see. All the different shades of orange you see from just fans bringing new gear, old gear, gear that's just 5 years old, gear that's just, you know, 3 or 4 years old. It doesn't matter. It changes very frequently, or it feels like it, and it's a bit of a color disorganization problem that UTEP has.
It is, and when UTEP plays football, they have a big, huge UTEP flag on the sidelines. I don't know if you've seen it, but
sure.
Then it has the old UTEP color, and then sometimes they're the Tennessee orange, and then the coaching staff will have a different shade of orange. It looks terrible. They need to get their act together, go back to the old school orange, match up with the seats in the Don Haskins Center, match up with the orange in the Sun Bowl, and live with it. That's what I say.
You know, it almost makes me think, Zay, like, you got to really this is an expensive restructure. It's not just easy to phase it all out. You almost need like a burning of the shirts and have everybody join up at Centennial Plaza, bring all your orange, burn it all right now, and then start fresh, like start from scratch.
And then I'll be on the other side. Like if they burn the Tennessee orange, I'm going to be burning the other one with all the Tennessee supporters. So we're just going to have, you know, a civil war of colors here, because the orange, I don't know. Look, I agree that there needs to be one base orange. I think it's the Tennessee orange. Other people might think different, right? But at the end of the day, like, we joke about this. This is a real, like, branding problem. Like, they really do need to fix this, because I guarantee you, there is no other university, at least FBS-wise, in America that has, like, an issue this bad. Okay. You'll see, like, seven different oranges.
Orly's back with us here on the program. UTEP defeated Florida International 83-77. Orly, you're probably not happy about the orange.
No, I don't have a problem with the orange, the darker orange. I've been following UTEP since the late 60s, in the 70s. Go back to the original orange. You don't need to add all the blue and all the Columbia blue. And then you're talking about the logo. If you're going to change that, then change the mascot. Pater Pete needs to go back to the original miner. A miner has a miner's hat with a light on it. That is the original miner. Our miner has a cowboy hat. That doesn't represent the if you look, coal miners, gold miners, they all have the hard hat with the light. Go back, and it's more a little bit more intimidating. This mascot looks too friendly.
It's like a Disney character, but I believe there was some kind of inspiration a long time ago, right?
There was a horrible Disney character. Oh my God, he was the worst mascot.
Okay. Instead of getting into that mascot, how about we talk more about that prospector? Because you're right, like having the hard hat helmet back, I like how, you know what, I will say this. I do like how Pater Pete's head, like they're able to switch up the head and the different accessories that he wears. They should go and wear the prospect helmet a little bit more often, because the cowboy hat is a bit different too, right? I mean, they adopted
That's
the cowboy.
Not a miner.
Well, they adopted the cowboy hat in like 2000 or like around there.
That's
like the mid 2000s.
I don't know why they did it. I can remember they had a donkey on the sideline. Clyde the donkey. Look it up.
I know Clyde the donkey. Hey, live animal mascots out there. Ugga.
Yeah, they had.
Bevo.
They had the donkey. But I would love to see him just get rid of Pater Pete. He's not any resemblance to what a miner looks like. You need to have a gruff-looking old man with a hard hat with a light on it. That's, if you look at a gold miner and you look at a coal miner, that's what he should look like. Because remember, we're in the School of Mines, Metallurgy, and there's a mining college. What does this guy have anything to do with mining?
Hey,
doesn't
Orly,
look like a miner.
Do you remember when they had the really scary Pater Pete? Like
That was the best one. That was the best one. With the cigarette?
Yes. He has the cigar in his mouth, and he's got the crazy...
Yes.
He looks deranged, and he has, like, brown eyes. He looks deranged. No, like, yellow eyes. He looks
His face looked like it was weathered, like it had been out in the sun forever, wrinkly and old. Yeah, and that was an intimidating mascot.
What about the one that was like the big bull head, like the one that has huge eyes and like the big round face? That one was the worst one, right? We can all agree.
That was the Disney character.
Okay. That's the Disney character.
I mean, that was the worst. So go back and look at some of the old mascots.
I was looking at them.
You had the overalls.
I'm looking at the overalls right now. Yeah, the hard hat, overalls, the good chin.
Yes, that's what they need to go back to.
Okay.
That looks like an original miner. If you go into the coal mines and all, that's what they look like. That's a miner. Ours doesn't look like a miner. Go back, and I don't know why they changed it. I have no idea. Whoever had the idea in the 2000s was messed up. And you know what? And go back to the original burnt orange or the orange. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I can remember they used to have UT El Paso on the helmet.
The UT El Paso on Clyde the Budo is awesome. Orly, one game. Yeah. One game for football, let's bring the Budo. Huh? Right? Like, just one game. Like just do it for
a
while.
Oh, he was great. He would sit on the sideline, and then we'd have a cannon that would go off every time we score a touchdown.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Clyde was great. Clyde, I mean, he was hilarious, and kids loved him.
I bet.
Kids loved him.
I bet they wanted to. I bet they wanted to pet Clyde the Budo. What, man? This show has completely gone off the rails, guys. The mascots were hilarious. We're all looking at them all. Sal, all the mascots look horrible. But you know, as far as this conversation goes, wow, we have totally gone from minor talk. But everybody wants to talk colors. I mean, Megan Acosta, no, the light orange. Never liked it. UTEP needs to go back to the original orange. This comes in for Joe Chacon. Go back to the 80s orange and Columbia blue, or go Mike Price era colors. Those were fire. Jason Tafoya, Marty Supreme Orange. Everybody wants to talk colors right now. Like, you know, we just talked about this UTEP win, 83-77, and we got off, you know, on this crazy tangent talking colors for UTEP.
We're going to see, like, gangs being formed at the games and stuff like this. The light orange over here. Nah, we're burnt orange on this side. It's just like a whole brawl at the stadium over the colors. I don't know, man. It's 2026. Okay. Why not?
Let's go back to that topic about players who could maybe, you know, play and extend their eligibility by playing another sport. We don't even see this in track, Zay, but I feel like also track athletes could be in this conversation too. If you're a great basketball player or a great football player, stay one more year, make some money in NIL and go in the track and field world. I don't know, is that even possible? Can you like hit the portal after you've done eligibility in a single sport and then go to the portal and then play and appear in a different sport at a different school? Like, I don't know if that's that's a possibility.
Anything's a possibility. I mean, now, true. Did you guys see? I don't even know his name. He's from Alabama. He played 2 years of basketball at Alabama, left, got drafted into the G League, played 2 years in the G League, and this week he's playing college basketball for Alabama again. Like, you know how crazy that is? So I do think that could happen. And our guy, Atiq Muhammad, prior to all the injuries, he was the anchor on UTEP's conference championship winning 4x100 team. I mean, tracks for the athletes. I could definitely see, like, David Terrell. He was really fast. Calvin Solomon was actually really fast. Calvin Solomon as, like, a deep threat wide receiver? Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, he's like 6'6". You just throw it up to him. Sal, even like the volleyball to like, you know, volleyball to basketball, a lot of those girls play both. Like they go through varsity and they play both at their respective schools. They grow up playing volleyball and basketball. And I'd be curious if that could translate for some of these athletes. Like you think about some of those, you know, interior players in volleyball who could translate to maybe a forward in basketball. Why not?
Oh man, that'd
Weaver,
be great to
another
see.
Year of eligibility.
Yeah, right. No, that'd be amazing. Just put her down low and you know and win every time. But I got a former two sport star for UTEP UTEP football and track and field. How about this one? My favorite minor of all time, Mr. Donald Buckram.
Man, I didn't realize he was track and field too. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And there's been a number of football players track and field, but one I would like to see, and it's not possible right now just due to this sport not existing, but maybe even like soccer to football, like a kicker. You know, that's even another fun one. Like, watch, down the road we're going to see like Kentucky soccer star, the new kicker for, you know, the Wildcats, whatever the case is. But that's what I want to see, like those obscure ones, guys who can really bank in on NIL.
Imagine if like a locomotive player goes to the academy, plays a little bit for the Locos, and then comes over to UTEP, kicks field goals. I don't think that's far off.
I mean, Brandon Aubrey's the best kicker in football, and he started off playing soccer. Like,
the
I can definitely see that happening.
Chris really likes this because Chris can see himself doing this.
Yeah, definitely.
Two-sport athlete. we'll get some more thoughts here on the program as we continue. 915-505-6009. Our 600 ESPN El Paso Twitter next. Let's go back to Twitter. Sad UTEP Zay at Evil UTEP Burner tweets the show. We win. About time we bounce back. Even though it was too far close at the end of it all. Hashtag minor talk. Hashtag Sal is not my pal. Hashtag no way Zay. Poncho, good win by the Miners today. They depend too much on the three-pointers, but fortunately they were falling in today. Poor ball handling at times, but overall a good game. Eric, I had a topic that I lined up for you. We're going to talk about the three plays that you feel like kind of changed the game or swayed the game, but let me get two more thoughts in. But you come up with those and get those ready to go here as we get going. Manny David, good win for UTEP and great game for Jamal West Jr. Still taking the season one game at a time. Hopefully they can keep building off this win. At the beginning of the season, I said I would rather they have a bad start to the season and then finish strong. Hashtag minor talk. Totally agree with that. King Eric, your task was coming up with the three plays or kind of the three moments that really swayed this game. What do you have for us? Throw it our way.
You know, sadly, I only came up with two. I feel like, and they were all in the first half. I feel like the second half was just a lot of back and forth. UTEP was in the lead in the second half, and I feel like they kind of just put it away. But in the first half, it was 15-34. UTEP came out to a hot start. They were up 12-5. You know, shots were falling. Shots were going good for them. Seemed like it was going to be one of those games where everything was going right. Everything was lining up for them, and they might have pulled it out. But the downside to that was towards the middle of that first half, FIU went on that 11-0 run and cut it to – and they actually took the lead. They were up – UTEP was up 19-9, and FIU came all the way back, came up – was up 20-19. So those really were the two that kind of stuck out to me. You know, when FIU came back, I thought to myself, well, here we go again. We've seen this happen before. Is it going to happen again? Sadly, fortunately, that did not happen. But, yeah, those were the two really big takeaways I got from this game.
I like the two takeaways. I particularly, actually, you know, it's interesting. We didn't talk about this. I wrote down the 12-5 start, and I really liked the 12-5 start because it set the tone. I mean, how many times, Sal, have we got on this team for not starting out the positive way?
Yeah.
And they not only started out a good way, but they also started the second half with some fire to them as well. Those are times where games kind of get away for UTEP. They get down in the dumps. They're having to play from behind. And the Miners in this one, we talked about earlier, 35 minutes of lead time in this one right here. Even though there were eight lead changes, I should say, Miners lead for over 36 minutes of action in this one.
Yeah, the four corners of the game, right? The first 3 minutes, the last 3 minutes of each half, those are huge. And the Miners were able to make plays in those spots. I mean, how about this? Even to kind of seal the game, so to speak, when they get that dunk near the end, that kind of slams it home. How many times, you know, in a possession like that where the Miners are down, or let's say it's a 1-2 possession game in the final minute, how many times do we see them squander that? They were able to be emphatic with that dunk and kind of, no pun intended, slam it all the way home. So that's what you want to see. We haven't seen that much from a Golden team, especially on offense, and I think that's a big, big part here, and he deserves a lot of credit for the performance today, just setting them up with the game plan, and them not really having to stray away from the game plan. Even with Jones getting in foul trouble, what happens? Jamal West takes over. L.A. Hayes is making some nice plays, so you need guys to complement each other, and they did that today. If you can do that more times than not in these games, you're going to have a good chance to win, and they got it done today.
Bryce Chauvin with a point. I don't understand why L.A. Hayes gets 3 minutes the whole second half. Explain that one to me, Zay. I don't get that one.
Yeah, I didn't get it either, you know, but I really don't. I don't get it. I didn't go to the presser. It was probably a question that I would have asked because he had such an electric first half. I don't see the drop-off defensively that maybe, you know, the coaching staff sees, but, you know, I'm not a basketball expert per se. But I mean, look, on a team that struggles offensively so mightily, if you have a guard that can put 12 points up, 4-6 shooting, 2-3 from beyond the arc in only 15 minutes, like, you give that guy more minutes, right?
Yeah, you got to give. I think L.A. Hayes has earned himself some more minutes, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And it's the way that he impacted the game early, not just on offense, but also on defense. You know, tipping passes, you know, getting buckets.
Three steals.
I mean, this guy was effective. I don't know. I mean, we've said this before, but what we can say, though, is that out of the bench bunch, if you want to put it that way, guys that come off, he was one of the leaders in minutes for the Miners. So, I mean, that's a positive, I guess. That's a step in the right direction. I mean, 15 minutes today is more than we've normally seen. We'll see if it goes up, you know, on the next game.
Okay, Romeo AF. Cedric Lang, gotta mention him. Hashtag Miner Talk. How could you ever forget Cedric Lang? Of course I remembered him. Him and the Jones brothers stood out to me when I was coming up with this idea and this topic. Cedric Lang, by the way, maybe a part of arguably the best game in Battle of I-10 history, helping the Miners seal the deal in the Battle of I-10 in Las Cruces. Game-winning drive. Mac Lefwich, who is currently the offensive coordinator for Texas Tech, suffered a career-ending concussion in that game, which was one of the toughest hits I've ever heard in my life. Rallying back from down two touchdowns were the Miners, led by Ryan Metz, the Andrus High School graduate, and he finds none other than Cedric Lang in the back of the end zone for a touchdown to put the Miners and propel them forward to get them to victory. By the way, Zay, he was a baller in basketball.
He was. Early memories was seeing this big guy in the paint just, you know, having his way. He's one of the first bigs I ever knew for UTEP. One of the only real bigs that, you know, actually played real minutes, like a real center that I've ever seen for UTEP basketball. And, I mean, that whole game, just goosebumps. Like, there's clips of it available online. The Lefwich hit is online. It's so loud. It's so loud. It's crazy. It was a great atmosphere in Las Cruces. I remember hearing the game. Like, that was just one of the best. It was a 52-49 final score. It's one of the best games in recent memory, even, you know, with all the good ones. So Cedric Lang.
Sure. Yeah, he's always going to live as kind of a legend in a sense. And then Joe Chacon, what about the Jones brothers? They stepped in when the basketball team needed them. Hashtag haters going to hate. Hashtag he hate me. Hashtag Adrian is always my brodus. Zay all the way. Sal is always my pal. There you go. Good stuff, guys. Guys, as far as the Aaron Jones and Alvin Jones, yeah, that was the point-shaving scandal that involved a couple UTEP players who were loosely involved, and they were suspended without, you know, they couldn't play anymore. They lost all their eligibility. Miners needed some players. They plucked away some guys from the football team. Guys, this team needed some players at some point this year. Like, they could have done. I liked what Zay was saying. Elijah Baldwin. I mean, Scotty Walden, I don't think he would love that, you know, allowing his players. Like, Chris, if you were a football head coach, would you let your guys go and play some basketball in today's day and age in the NIL and transfer portal era of how you're doing it? I guess only if the player insisted, like, hey, I want to play, or if I don't play basketball as well, I'm out.
Let them all play, all of them.
You like the idea.
I guess not all of them, but I do kind of like the idea because it makes you a little more athletic. Just like what Zay was saying, it's easier for, well, not exactly that way, but I do think it helps to play another sport if you're a football player, just because a lot of football players, like, you know, they play another sport, they just ram into everyone. I think it would help greatly the UTEP football team if some of them played some sort of basketball or some other sport.
So you're saying it can provide some coordination on both sides,
definitely.
Too. Yeah, I can see that.
Definitely.
I can see that.
Definitely.
Eric, any thoughts here as we continue?
I'm all for that, too. I feel like as a kid, you definitely should play different sports. I know I'm throwing it back to as a kid, right? But yeah, as a kid, I think you should play different sports. Growing up, I feel like you should also continue with that trend. Play football, play basketball. I play baseball. I think baseball is a great sport, especially for hand-eye coordination. I think it's great. Try and play everything you possibly can. And every sport has its own unique skill set, and I feel like you can tie it. into that specific sport you want to play.
Yeah, I think the easiest argument against all of this, guys, is the fact that, hey, you don't want to tear your ACL in the other sport that you're not. It's not your number one. And at this level, at the college level, there's a number one sport, and everybody's getting paid at this level too. So that's where it makes it a little complicated. My thought initially was, if you're a graduate player, if you're done with school or done with your eligibility in one sport, why not play it in another sport? Why not do it something else and just say, hey, I'm going to capitalize on some more NIL or some more advancements when it comes to these kinds of dollars that I could take advantage of right now while I can. Augustine is with us on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Augustine, welcome aboard.
Hey, Adrian, that's a very fun conversation you guys are talking
Which
about.
One do you want to hit on? The mascot, the orange color, the playing for multiple sports? Which one do you want to hit on? You hit on whichever one you want to hit on.
Well, how about that? You know, I was thinking the multiple sports, and there's one guy who would have done it, well, at least from the outside looking in. I don't know if you remember the guy, Michael Hanani.
Yeah, I do remember him. He was super athletic.
Track and field high jumper, represented France in two Olympics in the high jump. Can you imagine having somebody like Michael Hanani playing football or basketball? I would just come get it up there and bring it down.
Yeah, just throw it up to him. Yeah, that's a good point, Augustine. I mean, some of those track athletes, like they kind of fly under the radar too. Like they honestly do. Like the track athletes out there are kind of under talked about, and some of them, you know, end up choosing other sports. Like I'm even thinking like our guy AJ Hodgkins, who went from football to MMA. Like he's still pretty green in the sport too. So. The coordination itself is tough when you're not playing multiple sport or you're just fixating on one. The track athlete part of it is an interesting one, especially high jump. That's an under-talked about, kind of underappreciated sport there, Augustine. So good stuff. I appreciate your phone call, man. Ice Cubillos checks in. The donkey that we used to have was accompanied by a prospector. This was the inspiration for the current Pater Pete. The 80s and 90s Pete was very poorly constructed and literally disintegrated. Created 26 years ago. My wife's uncle Charlie Sterling cared for Clyde on his ranch. Actually, that makes me feel good, Sal. No animal abuse to Clyde the Burro. He was taken care of in a positive way, says Cesar Cubillo. So I'm happy about that.
Out goes Clyde, and then in came Billy Clyde. So gotta love it.
Okay, there you go. Billy Clyde. That's good stuff. 915-505-6009. Boy, what a wild show, from Burros to different shades of orange that we're talking about here on Minor Talk. Not to mention, we haven't talked about the elephant, the literal elephant in the room. The fact that Chris from Inspo Lens brought NCAA Basketball 09 in the building. Chris, how'd you resurrect this?
Just found it. Old storage. And I just decided to see.
You sound so disgruntled right now. Like this, I found it. I brought it here. Come on, Chris. Like Zay was geeky, and Zay never gets excited about anything unless it's a UTEP victory. And he was so excited when you brought this in the building. And you're playing a dynasty with arguably the best UTEP basketball team out there. Sal's even checking in. He had to jump in the studio because this is such a big deal. But one of the arguably the best UTEP basketball teams. This was like NCAA basketball 09. So you're getting to play with Art Randy Culpepper, Derek Character, like all the greats out there.
Yeah, definitely. This is probably one of the most like best times for UTEP basketball. And I so happen to have the game that they're on.
I feel like this is this is like invaluable right here, like priceless right here. As far as you could sell this for like whatever you want. You know?
Yeah, definitely. To any UTEP fan who wants it, I'm selling it for $150.
This team, by the way, finished 23-14. This was not the NCAA tournament team. It was the year right before. It was the NIT team, by the way, that went three games in a row against Oregon State and ended up losing. NIT, I believe, and then they lost that one. But, man, they had so many great players. Stephon Jackson, Randy Culpepper, Arnett Moultrie, Julian Stone, Gabriel McCulley. This was a team over here. So, yeah, I mean, Sal, what do you remember about that team? I remember that Oregon State game. I remember they made shirts for that one right there, that NIT run.
Yeah, I remember going to that one as well. I think it was up to that point, it was maybe what – it was single elimination, and then it was best of once you got to the finals. So, no, I remember that, and I'm trying to remember, like, other games throughout the year as I pull it up. I remember, how about this one, Richmond, that UTEP-Richmond
yes,
game. I remember that whole tournament when they went up against Nevada, that and it was a two-point game. They get the win against Northeastern, but that Randy Culpepper dunk, freshman Randy Culpepper slamming it on the road. I remember that dunk specifically against Richmond. So a lot of highlights, even the loss to Houston. One of my favorite conference USA, but no, I'm going to save that. I'll save that for when we get there, but there's a player on Houston who was an extreme scorer. But no, I remember that Richmond dunk the most. That's my takeaway.
Wayne Portalatin. When's the last time you had a Wayne Portalatin conversation?
I don't think we've ever mentioned that name on Minor Talk.
That's a good. I mean, honestly, we mentioned so many names.
We know who he is, obviously, but wow, man, that's crazy.
There are definitely some sicko UTEP fans who are like, "Wow, Wayne Portalatin." they just gave him a shout out. So, wow, I didn't think we'd get here either. I do want to mention this back to tonight's game, which UTEP won 83-77. I want to, you know, Kasim Watson, 5 points, 2 for 9. He hit a three when it mattered. So, like, he played 33 minutes. I'm cool with it. Like, I have no – anybody had a pushback on, like, when Kasim's off, like, don't play him. I play him. Like let him shoot himself out of it. Let him find his way into it. And he's going to get his buckets. And he got the three when it mattered late in the game. So, I'm just, like, 110% in on Kasim Watson, who he is. Here's the question for all you guys. You have one junior to choose from for next year's team. You have three guys to pick from who are legit difference makers on this team. Caleb Blackwell, Kasim Watson, Elijah Jones. Where do you go? You have one, and Zay laughed. Zay's, so you're going first, Zay. Where are you going with this bunch right here? Because I have my answer. I don't think it's close, but I have my answer. Where are you going here with this one? And I'm not trying to lead into this by talking about Kasim Watson, but I wrote this down right after I wrote Kasim's stat line. Who do you pick out of the juniors, Kasim Watson, Elijah Jones, Caleb Blackwell? If you could pick one guy to come back next year and kind of build around him, you know attrition's going to happen, but you want him back, who's your guy?
Oh, I laughed because it was so hard. Like, I smiled just thinking about it.
I don't think it's hard.
I think I'm good to cut one guy out, and it's Caleb Blackwell. And I like Caleb Blackwell, right? He's a really good player. He's a tough shot maker. But, I mean, bigs are invaluable, right? You need big men. And I want to say Kasim Watson, but I mean Elijah Jones, 14 points, 5 of 6 shooting, 4 of 4 from beyond the arc, in only 21 minutes. He got into foul trouble. It's been a consistent, you know, productivity. It's gone up over his 3 years at UTEP. He's gotten better and better every year. And I couldn't talk myself into Elijah Jones. Like, I just tried right there. It's Kasim Watson, in my opinion.
Wow. What a curveball.
Had me in the first half, not going
to
lie.
Had me in the first half in a big way.
I was trying to convince myself to say Elijah Jones because it seems like, you know, to me it seems like the logical answer, but we have a guy like Kasim Watson who can score like that. I got to take it.
Okay, fair. I like your points. Eric, your thoughts. Who would you pick? One junior to come back, who you got?
Well, I think Zay got it right in the first half. I think Caleb is not the one. He's very erratic. Like, you know, he plays very fast sometimes, and he just takes
a lot
of
shots. He kind of rushes his shots.
Yeah, he does. He takes a lot of shots that are very questionable, so I think Caleb's out. Between Elijah and Kasim, you got to look at upside. You got to look at who is the more all-around player, and I feel like it is Kasim. I feel like Elijah is definitely a better defender. I mean, he had 2 blocks in this game. But, yeah, I think you got to take Kasim. You guys were saying he had kind of like the KD comp.
Yes.
Not necessarily, but...
Slim Reaper.
A little bit. I can see it a little bit now. He's very smooth. He has kind of like that high release point jump shot like KD. I can see the comp now. So, yeah, I'd probably say Kasim as well.
Okay, where are you at, Chris?
Definitely Kasim the Dream. As you guys would say. Who came up with that anyways?
Zay did. Zay was Kasim the Dream. Sal, we're 3-0 for Kasim. Anybody going to go anywhere else?
You know what? We're going to be 4-0 on something else, not this one.
Nice.
Give me Elijah Jones,
Thank
man.
You,
Are
Sal.
You kidding
Thank
me? You. I'm going Elijah all the way. Honestly, I'm just going hard because you all went. You all are on Kasebe. It is a toss-up, but for the sake of being different and also for my fantasy team, I need Elijah Jones to be better. But we have seen, you know, that potential not only increase each year, but kind of that needle move on where he's at, you know, throughout his tenure with UTEP. So I'll pick Elijah.
I think it's Elijah, and it's not close, guys. Like, that's where I'm at. I feel like the jump that he made last year is a 3.5 points per game player. The year before that, as a freshman, and by the way, he was all conference USA freshman that year, 3.9 points. You tell me that Elijah Jones is a 14 per game scorer 18 games into Conference USA play? What a jump! Well, I mean, this guy is score. He could score at all three levels. He hit threes today. He could shot fake from the perimeter and then drive inside. His only bad shot was on a heat check because this guy was 4 for 4. And it was like, all right, let me just try to chuck another one. It was a mid-range two that was a little long, but it was actually an air ball that he put up there. But forget tonight's game. It's just it's everything that you get from Elijah. And the biggest part of it is he can leave a legacy at UTEP by being a four-year player. And maybe it doesn't matter anymore. Maybe we live in an era where you don't need the legacy. You don't need to have a school behind your name. Kids or players don't really care about that because they're going to get paid no matter what and where they go in the portal. But like they did with Kevin Kalu, though you can make a big argument, Kalu hit a massive ceiling when he was probably a junior, and that kind of carried it into his senior year. I haven't seen Elijah Jones' ceiling. I really haven't. Like, he could still be a better player than who he is today, and that makes me think, all right, you put him around other guys, he kind of can morph himself into whatever's around him. Like, he can kind of play with the likes of anybody. And I'm not saying Kasim can't. I think Kasim would also be a nice guy to bring back. I also would like to bring back Caleb Blackwell if I was UTEP right here. It just doesn't happen. In today's college basketball world, Zay, it's almost like unheard of, and it's almost unfair to say. So even, you know, making this claim about Elijah Jones, you also have to think, well, he's only known UTEP. Wouldn't he like to get a chance to go out and play elsewhere, maybe play at a higher level, make some money, make some more money elsewhere? Or could he just say, you know what, the way that Coach Cox has worked with me, the way that Coach Golding has worked with me down low, and they saw me truly jump this year, why would I leave? Why would I go elsewhere and be the next, I don't know, Casey Izyagu, be the next Zarek Onyema, guy who kind of takes a bit of a drop off after having a successful season where you see, wow, this is what he could be if he has, you know, extended minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, look, the thing that I'll say, if I was a Kasim Watson guy and I was, you know, a fan of him saying, we need him back, I can't imagine Elijah Jones being the number one option on a tournament team or a conference championship contending team.
That's a fair point.
I can certainly see Kasim Watson, you know, being that number one guy. Like, if UTEP needs a buzzer beater right now, I'd go with Kasim over Elijah. And I guess that's a conversation for another day, right? Because you'd probably go with Caleb Blackwell in that instance. But
I don't know. Kasim hits shots.
Yeah, you know, you would draw something up for Kasim. 2 of 9. He takes 9 shots. You like that. Even if he goes 2 of 9. Like, you need a guy like him shooting. He's a little streaky. But at the end of the day, I agree. I mean, at least, Elijah Jones, Kasim Watson, it's 1A, 1B, right? You take either of them back with open arms gladly. And yeah, they're playing their way into some big money. That's the one definitive thing, is both of these guys are playing their way into some big, big NIL money, whether it's here at UTEP or somewhere else.
Let's wrap up with fantasy, and that's how we'll close out the show here today. We've got teams that we all drafted when the season started, me, Chris, Zay, and Sal. And Chris is in the building, which is awesome. Like, he's playing NCAA basketball 09. He's currently winning right now against Arizona State. He's doing this all while joining us on the program, by the way. And these graphics look horrible, by the way, as well. But it's still, it's kind of nostalgic and it's fun. Zay, let's go out and let's read all this fantasy stats as they stand right now. I'm definitely in last. Sal's definitely in first. And then it's a fight for second place. And maybe once it's all said and done, maybe a fight for first. Sal is in a good spot right now. But where are we at here, Zay?
Give me 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll give you five. As I give you 5 minutes, let me run down a couple other storylines that I had here on the program that I did not hit on. Sal, I'll ask you this, and I wrote this as a question mark when I was doing my notes today. Is this a likable team? And my answer is yes, but I want to hear your answer and where you go. Either way, if you want to be positive or negative to this, is this a likable team?
It depends when you ask that question. Like, what game are we going to ask that question on? Because it's easy to say yes after they defeat FIU.
Or have a win, or have some positivity.
Exactly. Like, ask me if this is a likable team against St. Thomas. You know what I mean? Ask me if this is a likable team against, and we're going to find out on Saturday, is it a likable team against Missouri State, who is in the top, I think they're third place in the conference right now. So I'll put it this way. When they can give themselves a shot, I think they're a likable team. But when they're the team who gets down early by double digits and they're clawing and scrapping just to trying to get it to single digits again, only to be blown up again, that's not a likable team. And for the most part of the I'll say this, no. Because if I have to answer for a majority of the season, the general consensus is going to say no, it's not likable. Today, though, today's the exception. So, but I got to be honest and say no.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. I think that you put it much better than I was kind of trying to lay it out. Because my argument for this being a likable team is I kind of know they're not as talented as everybody else. Like, I kind of know that, and I go into this thinking, all right, well, UTEP's not necessarily like a disadvantage, but maybe in a way they just don't have the upper hand like some of these other teams do in the NIL circles, or you know, in all these different circles out there. You might argue against that. I would just say, for what we've seen so far from UTEP and what we've seen so far from this team right here, they are not selfish with the basketball. They try to play with each other. There's not really like one guy who kind of says like, this is my team, like let me take over. They try to play like as a cohesive unit, and then their younger players who've kind of stepped up, CJ Smith, even KJ Thomas, LA Hayes, like the younger guys that you've seen step up in moments, maybe that makes them, to me, a little bit more likable. Like, I don't think I have like a favorite player on this team. Like, I love to watch night in, night out. But if he had one more year of eligibility, you know who'd break the bank next year? Is Jamal West Jr. Like, who wouldn't want a guy like that on their team who just plays his ass off every single night and, you know, really lays it out on the line? He's kind of like a running back, the way that he attacks the basket, back to the basket with, you know, a lot of ferocious energy on his side. So I'm a big fan of... I think that this team is a bit more likable than the record will reflect, but I don't want to label them kind of like lovable losers. They're not that. They're a team that's just trying to figure things out and figure out how their identity is. And I think they've kind of figured a bit of that out, and that is kind of running through Kasim Watson, Elijah Jones, and Jamal West Jr. filling out the rest of that as the rest kind of, you know, goes. But that's kind of how I look at it right here. 915-505-6009. The one negative I do want to bring up offensively, though, guys, the late shot clock possessions that UTEP has. I felt like they dragged out a lot of possessions late in the shot clock. They'd get into kind of some shot clock problems. How many times did you hear either the shot clock violation or them near a shot clock violation? I thought those possessions down the stretch were critical for UTEP to maintain on their side. So it's a bit of a catch and trade. I don't like late shot clock possessions, but the way that they were kind of able to get themselves out of those positions, whether it was like draw a foul late in the shot clock, you know, hit a shot or miss a shot and then grab the offensive rebound, I thought that was positive too. So there you go. Let's get some final thoughts from the likes of Eric and the likes of Chris. We're going to close out the show with some fantasy, and then we'll turn the page to Missouri State. Real quick, before we turn the page and give some final thoughts, with your final thoughts, Eric, include your prediction for UTEP and Missouri State on Saturday. So go ahead.
Well, looking back from the last game, Missouri State kind of just had their way with them. Considering that, UTEP also really UTEP lost at FIU the first time too, so maybe they come back, maybe they ride this high and take it to Missouri State. Unfortunately, I don't really see that happening. Missouri State went to NMSU, who's not a terrible team, and they kind of handled them pretty easily. So, unfortunately, I think they split this week.
Okay. So, you have them losing on Saturday here on this one. Let's go to you, Chris. Where do you have UTEP?
Against Missouri State, I would say that they would probably drop that one.
Okay.
I do have them, you know, winning about 3 to 4 games at home. I think their destiny lies at home. On the road, we already know they're not a good road team. They're going to get 1 or 2. And it lies at home. They could do it. And I think once they're in the middle and they reach the tournament, then they can write their own script. I do think the New Mexico State series is the turning point. That will decide if they're even going to A, make the tournament, and B, are they going to be even contenders in the tournament to even have a chance? I think the New Mexico State will tell us that. And if they drop those, I mean, UTEP probably doesn't have much of a chance. If they win that, I would definitely say they probably have a good chance to at least win a game in the tournament.
Okay. All right. Sal, final thoughts and then prediction for Missouri State.
I think what they were able to do today was kind of keep everything in front of them, not let it get out of hand. So that's a big, big reason why they were able to win. And as far as it goes against Missouri State, I think Missouri State's just going to take that one. And it's no knock on UTEP. I just look at it as like, hey, if two teams are playing at their best, who's going to come out on top? And I'll give the nod to the better team, especially on the road in this one.
Okay. Zay, we got some fantasy stats.
We sure do. And there's stats that I really don't like, but got to tell them, right? The guy to the right of me will like it. Our guy Chris, he has 766.9 fantasy points. He has Jamal West Jr., Cassius Brooks, and L.A. Hayes on his team. Although, he's still in second place. Even with Jamal West, 482 fantasy points for Jamal West. By far the leading, I guess, point scorer.
Sure.
And in third place is me, 537 points. Big drop off. Kasim Watson's my leader with 395. Trey Horton the third, only 119. And Bobby Montgomery Jr., only 22. Last place, sorry, Adrian, 484. You're basically playing with one guy. And KJ Thomas, he's done a good job of keeping you afloat, at least 277.1 points. But, yeah, you're not going to get anything out of two injuries with Tyrese Watson and David Tubek. First place, really no shock here. He's been in first place all year, and it seems like he's getting, like, reinforcements now. Muhammad Embe had a great game today. Man. It's Sal. Caleb Blackwell, Elijah Jones, Muhammad Embe, or Jordan Hernandez, whoever has a better game that day, 788 points this year. Been a dominant showing. Caleb Blackwell, 279 points for him. Elijah Jones, 450. So
how does he always do it? He did it last year. Sal won last year, right? Basically, I think we voted like Sal was like the winner.
The trick that I'll say is don't be first. Don't be first in the draft. Because then you could kind of just pile up. I'm saying too much.
I felt so great about my first pick in Tyrese Watson. And I'll stand by it. I'm just bummed that it ended up being this way. This was just this was not the way I thought the season would go for Tyrese Watson, who officially is out for the year, will be seeking a medical hardship. We heard that earlier in the week, and not a huge surprise if you've been listening to us here on Minor Talk. But don't know if he'll come back. He seems like he likes El Paso, seems like he likes UTEP, has been very engaged with it. But, you know, a lot changes between now and, you know, the rest of the rest of the offseason, the rest of this season. A lot can change between now and then. So there you go. Guys, if you miss any of the show, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts. For everybody in the building, for Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, for Eric Reyes, for Chris Collins, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off. UTEP defeats Florida International 83-77. We'll be back on Saturday. UTEP taking on Missouri State on 600 ESPN El Paso.